MassMutual knows that finances can lead to uncomfortable conversations.
We should talk about our finances.
Sure. How about Friday evening?
Soccer practice. Saturday morning?
Soccer game. Maybe Wednesday night?
Girls' night. How about Thursday?
Guys' night.
Let me see your phone. So next time we're both free is 3 months from now.
According to Calendar.com, the average American schedules less than 4.5 hours a year for finances. Your finances deserve more. Go to MassMutual.com today. Feel comfortable about tomorrow.
Blog Talk Radio.
Spurlock isn't completely full of crap, because I'm pretty sure he is. I don't think he faked vomiting on screen. I think that was real. I think he was reacting to eating too much too fast and it being shitty quality McDonald's food. But there's another documentary, I want to say it's called Fathead, that completely discounts all of the arguments made in Supersize Me. And I don't think Morgan Spurlock has ever answered the accusations made in Fathead, but they did the math in Fathead, and yeah, Morgan Spurlock's math is all off. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Metal Hammer of Doom.
Where we just fucking forgo the intro. We just say, fuck the intro. We're just going to go pick up right where we left off on pre-show conversation.
I wasn't done talking. And now we're done. We can move on. Turn the page. That's right. Someone call Metallica and Bob Seger. This is the Metal Hammer of Doom. I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Radulich. And tonight it's hashtag time to murder it as we review yet another Hatebreed album on this show. This show has not been around long enough that we've been able to cover two Hatebreed albums. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
That voice you hear, by the way, is not Robert Cooper. Robert Cooper is in the wind tonight. He had to work. He may come on a little bit later to join us at the Bro Down with the Hoedown. But we're not anticipating him being here, and if he is, it'll be a pleasant surprise. Instead, I've got a substitute co-host here to discuss the Concrete Confessional, Mr. Jesse Starcher, host of Source Material here on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. How do you do, sir?
Doing great, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much for letting me come on here and discuss my first ever entry into the Brodeo. That is Hatebreed.
I have to. It's funny because I avoided Hatebreed for the longest time, and apparently they've been around forever at this point. But this is actually their seventh studio album. But Hatebreed got popular at a time where I was really abandoning American metal. As I've said before on this show, I got into metal in the early to mid '90s, and Pantera was the band that Pantera and Slayer were the two bands that I was most you know, as far as pure metal goes, that I was most attracted to and saw a bunch of times. And by the time 95, 96 rolled along, especially towards the latter end of the 90s, 97, 98, 99, I tended to shy away from American style metal. By that point, I was getting bored with it. And I had a friend who worked for a record company, and he was getting me into Blind Guardian and bands like that. So mm-hmm. I have, and on the other side of this, I had felt like the American metal scene had become too infested with the kind of guys that I didn't really get along with in high school. So it just wasn't my scene anymore. I didn't want to be around them, and they were always at the Hatebreed show. So I'm very negative. I have very negative associations with Hatebreed, but we started doing this podcast a couple years ago, and we decided that, you know, we were going to try to hit, much like the movie reviews, let's do what was probably the most popular album out that week, or something that I particularly like, is how it broke down. So when we first started doing this, we happened to notice that particular week, the most popular band, the most popular album out that particular week was Hatebreed's The Divinity of Purpose. And while I was sitting there going, ugh, I don't know if you want to do this now, because I had such negative associations, you know, Hatebreed pits were always like overtly violent, and it wasn't about dancing, it was about, you know, beefy football players punching other people in the head. I was sort of loathe to want to sit there and listen to their music, and I fell in love with The Divinity of Purpose. It's one of my probably my favorite album from last year. It's amazing. So since I'm almost 40 now, and I don't have those sort of negative connotations anymore, I'm willing to give more things a chance. And it's not like I'm going to be finding myself in a Hatebreed pit anytime soon. So I can just sort of appreciate music for what it is. If it entertains me, great. If it doesn't, I move along. And I've come to really enjoy Hatebreed. I find that, like, I'll put it on in the house, and it's great music to, you know, keep up the energy level, to clean the house to, and work out to, and whatnot. And this new one that just came out last Friday, The Concrete Confessional, is more of what I like by Hatebreed, but not enough of what I liked about The Divinity of Purpose. And we're going to break it down for you tonight. But you, Jesse Starcher, super fan, you, a little bit of your history here, you started listening to this show, but I guess you didn't listen to all the shows, because I know I started to notice your incessant stalking tweets and constant buggery. Around the time that we did the Clutch show. So actually, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came to the Metal Hammer of Doom, and then we can sort of draw a line from your getting involved with this podcast to hearing this band.
Oh, yeah. Constant buggery. I consider that unwavering support, first off. the one thing that I remember, I know I started following you through Casual Heroes. I heard you over on the Casual Heroes. I think you did some plugs, as we are wont to do here on the network. And I was like, well, I'm going to go check this out. I'm sure you probably said something about the Metal Hammer of Doom at one time. I think it was your Megadeth podcast that you guys did, that you and Coop did first. And then I went back, somehow I found on iTunes that you guys did the Clutch retrospective. And I was like, oh, shit. I cannot wait to listen to this, because I enjoyed the Megadeth one so much. So I got into, of course, listening to the Clutch retrospective, and the tweets ensued, and then following on Facebook and all that great stuff. So what I've tended to do here with this particular show is I use it as an educational tool, because I am a metal fan. I wasn't certainly aware of all the bands that were out there. I think as the internet grew in popularity and like Pandora, that opened my eyes to a lot of different bands that were out there that I'd never heard of before. I think Last.fm I was using. So even with that, your guys' show, The Metal Hammer of Doom, was able to open my eyes to even more bands that were out there. And granted, maybe some I liked and some I didn't like. And what I found out is that you guys didn't like some albums. You weren't afraid to show it. Hashtag Black Sabbath. But
hashtag note next.
Exactly. So that's kind of what I use this show for, as an educational tool for myself, to kind of listen to it, listen to some guys talk about it. And Coop, you know, has got the grounded education. It sounds like he's made it his purpose to understand everything metal, and it's fun to listen to you guys talk about it. So that being said, of course, now I can't remember what show I was like, oh, I've got to be on this show. I can't even remember what my first show with you guys was. You'd think it would be that momentous that I would remember, but I remember saying you guys were covering Hatebreed. All right. Now, I've never listened to Hatebreed before. I'm sure I may have heard a song of theirs, either on Pandora, Last.fm, whatever, iHeartRadio, something like that. But I couldn't tell you that I made it a point to go find the album and listen to it. So this is the first time that I've ever sat down and listened to a Hatebreed album straight through, and, you know, got to have a good idea of what they're about. Of course, I've heard you and Coop joke about these guys for quite a while, and I poke fun at the bro stuff too. And it sounds like that the whole bro thing is a big part of that culture. And you may have to go a little bit into some explanations as we get into some of these songs, like, okay, that's definitely a Hatebreed song. Because from what I understand, this album, it kind of, there's some of it sounds like classic Hatebreed, and I'm just going off some of the reviews I read, and some of it sounds a little bit different. So, I'm here to be educated, man.
Let me walk back some criticism I've had of Hatebreed. My dislike of Hatebreed, or my unwillingness to listen to them, definitely extended to them opening up for bands that I did see. Like, I think they toured with Slayer a bunch and some other bands, and they always brought with them, like I said, the jocks, football players, meatheads that sort of invaded, against my wishes, invaded the metal scene back in the 90s. You know, they didn't just throw on a flannel and listen to Pearl Jam and stay the fuck where they belonged.
They had pent up anger too, Mark. They had a way. They had to have a way to get it out.
They had football. they started showing up to a lot of the same shows that I do, and I'm not even joking. Like these are like or making wide generalizations. I saw literally the guys I went to school with start. Make fun of me for what I was listening to, and then a few years later show up to those very same shows, and Hatebreed was one of the bands that I'd see them in there for, and it's, you know, like I said, it's one thing when you're a bunch of skinny leather, you know, jacket wearing, black denim wearing, boots wearing, metalhead kid. It's a whole other thing when you're benching 300 pounds and you're built like a brick shithouse and you're moshing. I don't want to spend the whole show like complaining about this, because I've just sort of come to accept it as part of my life. But, you know, I would see guys that were older than me, you know, old metalheads, get fucking killed in these pits. You know, these really skinny guys, you know, who would listen to like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, and they are slam dancing, okay? They are not out to hurt people. They are just aggressively dancing, and they would get mowed over by fucking Biff and Igor.
Oh, man.
And I remember my friends and I would jokingly start yelling out, take your football and go home. And it was like shows where bands like Hatebreed would play. And I wish I wasn't as prejudiced back then against hate, because that's where the whole bro thing came from. I would associate people like those, the bros, right, the football players, the jocks, the meatheads. That's what we say, bros. I just associated them with Hatebreed and vice versa. so I never gave the music a chance. I'm going back and listening to some old Hatebreed now and going, yet another band that I probably would have liked if I, you know, when they were coming up, had I given them an opportunity. But, mm-hmm. you know, a guy I don't like goes to high school. A guy I don't like with in high school listens to the music, so therefore I'm not going to listen to it. And so when we would talk about it, that all kind of came out. But as I listened to The Divinity of Purpose and now The Concrete Confessional, I have to walk a lot of that stuff back. It's not their fault they attracted a shitty fan base. Their music is actually quite positive.
It is.
At least in The Divinity of Purpose and The Concrete Confessional, lyrically, this is some of the most positive metal I've ever heard. It's like anti-rap, you know, or, you know, anti-death. It's uplifting. I mean, it's almost like gospel minus the Jesus. it's the most uplifting, powerful, you can do it kind of music mixed in with like traditional thrash and hardcore. And I love it. It's like I said, it's one of the reasons why The Divinity of Purpose was my favorite album of that year. Was I'm like, wow, I've never heard anything quite so positive sound so angry. And you know, and that with something like Pantera, where it was almost all negative. But the other thing I want to talk about really quick before we get into the first track here, the other side of Hatebreed as such, especially some of the earlier stuff that I recall, and again, where I keep throwing out the word bro comes from, is my friend used to call it tough guy metal. You know, it's the sort of thing you hear in rap, where musicians, bands, singers, et cetera, have to talk about how tough they are. And Pat Mullen, if you're out there, this is for you. You know, you got all these bands singing about how tough they are, and they're going to throw you a beating and all this other stuff. Apparently, Jamie Jasta wouldn't fight Pat Mullen. So there you go. And now I feel bad because Hatebreed was nice enough to tweet us and, you know, help promote the show to a degree, and now I've just told the story embarrassing Jamie Jasta. So if you're out there, Jamie Jasta, I love your band. Think you're great. Keep doing what you're doing. But Pat Mullen thinks you're a pussy. Go tweet him about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, don't drag me into your mess. That being said, The Concrete Confessional continues the combination of both uplifting and tough guy, bro-tastic metal, I'm going to punch you in your face kind of a thing. And it's a weird combination, but it works. So my one question to you before we get into this is why, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I am curious. We did an entire whole thing on The Divinity of Purpose. I guess maybe you heard the show or you knew we did it, but you listened to the show. Yeah, I'm curious.
I know you guys did one, but I've never listened to it.
What stopped you from listening to the show, or as often as I've talked about it, listening to The Divinity of Purpose?
I'm sure it's probably laziness or too many podcasts. that's probably honestly what it is. I just never had the chance to go back and find it in the archives. That had to have been prior to me actually hopping on here and listening. Because this was Divinity of Purpose was 2013, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Most likely I just haven't had a chance to dig it up and listen to it.
Okay, let's jump into track one here. This is AD.
This dream can't be what it used to be. Poor, very poor.
somewhat. I was reading some reviews and some articles referencing it, like Loudwire and Blabbermouth and all that. They purposely addressed some of the political stuff going on. So two things about this song right off the bat. One, they went very thrashy with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Thrashier than they did on anything in the Divinity of Purpose that I can recall, number one. Number two, so it lacked like the hardcore sort of danceable beat that I fell in love with, number one. But they purposely went like ultra thrashy on this first track. And second, while Jamie Jasta talked about not wanting to be overtly political, they do address some sort of socioeconomic stuff going on in the world. You know, they addressed this current election, and they addressed, you know, the loss of opportunity for, the American dream, the loss of opportunity for the everyday man. So that's that first song. What'd you think?
It was definitely heavy. Right, like I said, first opportunity to listen to Hatebreed. I put the album on Spotify. I hit play, and I mean, just blam, I'm hit with a, you know, just ferocity. Politics was one of the big things that I noticed here. Now, is this something that they address a lot in their music, or is this something that's kind of odd for them to do, where they start talking about politics and their stuff? Obviously, their focus is on being positive and uplifting, just like you said. But I got this very, you know, I think I sent you the message where I got this very Megadeth feel where they're talking about politics in this song and how everything out there is not the way it should be in America. So is that something that they do a lot?
I think you've noticed. I would, without getting too deep into it, because like I said, a lot of the catalog I have not listened to very closely, I would say they do reflect the world around them or the world that they perceive. Sort of like cop-out answer.
Okay. All right. A good song, in my opinion. I like it. It's I guess, the way to bring in Hatebreed for this album. It's what you're going to get for the rest of the album is nothing but anger.
I would say if Robert Krupa were here, it's probably his favorite track, because it's the most thrashy, it's the least hardcore, it's just straight at you. Not my favorite, to be honest.
Okay.
It's fine. Like I said, I like thrash, but there are better thrash metal bands out there who do it better than this. This next one, however, is quintessential Hatebreed. I made my wife listen to it before the show started. She made me listen to a Justin Bieber song that I guess somebody in her school wants to do like a dance routine to, and I was just like, you should have him do a dance routine to instead. Looking down the barrel of...
This is for making me listen to that song.
Had a shotgun to my head, they said I wasn't worth a bullet. Now the world is my trigger and I'm here to fucking pull it. What it brings.
moshing with my 2-year-old son to that earlier.
Nice.
he was like, my phone, and I was just like, my pick, bam.
Oh, shoot. Well, man, looking down the barrel of today, I have you watched the video for this?
Like 100 times.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it's – and you talk about positivity. This one does have a great message to it, in my opinion. I've watched the lyrics. I think they had a lyric video for this, or maybe it was something else I was watching. But there was it almost sounds like he is – it's almost like an anti-suicide message. I know that's not the case because it's not really overt. But, you know, he's talking about this turning point that he hits, and – I wondered, it sounded like, obviously, you take the lyrics literally, it sounds like some guy has a freaking gun to his head. But I wondered if, like, he actually had a gun to his own head at one point. I don't know about Jamie himself, but I'm talking about the guy in the song. And was to a point where somebody said, you know what, you ain't even worth the bullets to kill yourself. And that was a turning point for him. And then he just decided, okay, well, you know what, fuck you, world, and then just you know, obviously took every day and became, he had no sleep. He had no rest, and he did what it takes to be the best.
Funny you mentioned that. And I'm going to tell the story quick, and I'm not going to do much inflection or take, dramatic pauses because I don't want to spend too long on this, but funny you should say that, because that actually happened with me. Not someone saying that you're not worth the bullets to shoot, but more of, I wrote when I was in 10th grade something about, I wrote an essay for my English teacher, and I basically insinuated that the world would be better off without me. I was very, very depressed at the time. Something akin to a suicide letter, but nothing as proactive as all that. So, of course, the teacher did the dutiful thing, which I didn't think she would do, or I wouldn't have handed that in to my English teacher. Maybe I would have. I was looking for anyone to listen to me. And she basically was like, hey, your son's writing essays with suicidal ideations in them. You might want to talk to him. And so my father of the year, sat across the table from me and said, you're not really thinking about killing yourself, are you? You're not that stupid. Okay. Not the reaction I was looking for. But I remember I got so angry about it. You know, I was like, I'm looking for sympathy. Empathy, something, because clearly I don't feel loved and I don't feel heard. And my father's reaction was something along the lines of, not sarcasm, but basically like, I don't even know what the right word for it is, but you know, you're not that dumb. So
yeah, it's he's probably like, yeah, pretty much thinking you straighten your ass up there, son.
Yeah, man, I put your big boy pants on. And what came out of that was years of anger. Just years of, okay, well, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself anymore. That I'm going to turn all of these feelings that I have internally and I'm going to push them outward. And I think that's where a lot of my aggression and a lot of the less great parts of my personality started coming out. You hear some of that now in some of these podcasts, and it's mostly a bit. But it came from an earnest place years ago that I've tried to, do away with and become a better person. So I think that's where I identify with that song. But there's other parts of it, no sleep, no rest. That's what it takes to be the best. I identify with that now, especially since I spend these late nights doing these podcasts because I believe in this network. And I think we do great shows here, and I'm waiting for Fox to give me $1 million for this network. they bought MySpace, goddammit. They can buy the Rattlers and Budget. I believe what we're doing here is good, and I want to put a lot of effort into it, and that a lot of times means the personal sacrifice of not sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's call a spade and be like, you get both of those at the same time every once in a while. I don't think I'm ever going to let you live the fact down that you did fall asleep on a couple podcasts, but
no sleep, but, no rest.
Now, now
in the middle
if
of
you
a
aren't,
podcast.
But if you aren't screaming, I'll fucking pull it when you hear this song. I don't know what you're doing, because I know I've listened to this album a good close to 10 times, and this is the one song that I am shouting, or yeah, at least somewhat singing when it comes on.
It's not getting any better than this song on this album. I can tell you that right now. They peaked at number two. And I'll tell you, one of the things I love about this band is that their songs are anthems. You know, it's that constant shouting and repetition. I love it. I don't know if I would have loved it years ago. I would have thought it was too simplistic. But you know, I'm the guy that likes simple now. So, you know, I'm the guy that's okay with the current crop of Ninja Turtle movies. I'm good with that.
Live with it.
Yeah. So I just can't get excited about certain, you know, about certain things anymore. I got too much stuff to do. So for me, you know, the shouting, the anthem-like style in which they produced this music, I really dig. And there was a lot of that on the Divinity of Purpose. There's not as much on this one, and the track that features it the most is the one we just heard.
I hear you. I might have a debate, of course, debate, you know, course that, you know that they may have a better song on here, but that's my opinion only, and I'll defend it here once we get to it. But definitely looking down the barrel of today is that was released as a single, I'm fairly certain, because that's one of the videos that are out there, and it's tremendous. Kudos to them for figuring that one out, because it is definitely one of the best songs on this album.
All right. I said Looking Down the Barrel Today is the best song on here. This one's a close second, and it's track number three. This is Seven Enemies.
Today is not the fucking day. Let's live and fight with the pain. Their negative ways giving birth to endless cries and complaints. Not too close, just boiling with rage. I choke on this feeling of war in my throat every day. Swallowed every bitter pill now I'm forced to chew. Hearing every vicious word their filthy mouth spew. My thoughts descend into the abyss. My heart is begging me to finish this. Today I wish a motherfucker would try. Think of someone other than themselves one time. Today I wish a motherfucker would try to see this fucked up world through my eyes. Please God, don't let me act on these words and forgive those who choose to set my last nerve I see red. Keep causing away. Think of kindness for weakness. Now the answer on this desperate day. Wake up alone, or get nothing changed. Infected by demons, all my vision becomes erased. One by one, hatred blisters the surface of my tongue. Today, I wish a motherfucker would try. Think of someone other than himself one time. Today, I wish a motherfucker would try to see this fucked up world through my eyes.
That is the anthem of my life right now.
Explain, please. I mean, please. Give us an idea as to why this one fits.
Well, listen to what he's saying. Today, I wish a motherfucker would try to see this world through my eyes. Oh, God, let me bring it up real quick.
I wish a motherfucker would try.
Before I even get there, let me say this. This is once again one of those weird combinations of of physical violent kind of music with an uplifting message. It's the weirdest thing. All right. Mm-hmm. So today I wish a motherfucker would try to think of someone else other than themselves one time. So I have a major problem with that. Not with the lyrics. The lyrics fucking sum it up perfectly. But mm-hmm. I have a problem with people, and studies even show that society is leaning this way, where instead of You are my brother's keeper. It's I am the center of the universe.
Yeah.
And I have issues with that. I really do. It's one thing to have to deal with some of the mentally ill people I deal with who think they're the center of the universe. And I don't mean like in the I am Jesus kind of way. I mean like they're like 2-year-olds. They have no patience for anything. They want what they want when they want it, you know, very personality disordered people. But but these are just the folks I'm dealing with in jail with a mental health disorder. What about the rest of the world around me? The parents that I run into, other coworkers, friends of ours even. I mean, Melissa, you know the deal. Don't you wish that a motherfucker would try to think of someone else other than themselves one time?
Sure.
All right.
I can think
she
of
agrees.
I can think of a mutual relative who I wish would think of someone else other than himself. Thanks. You don't want to be part of the podcast?
Yeah.
Think of someone else other than yourself. I just have a finger. And then, today I wish a motherfucker would try to see this fucked up world through my eyes. This is why I don't talk politics anymore.
Oh, dude.
I got tired of people discounting decent ideas, good ideas, because they didn't quite match the political philosophy that they were espousing or a party that they belonged to.
Okay.
I got tired of political conversations sort of becoming a pissing contest between two people not willing to listen to the other. This is why I don't do a political podcast anymore, because I don't have an audience. Either you have to be Rush Limbaugh or you have to be Randy Rhoads, not the dead guitar player, the liberal, the female liberal talk radio host who is sort of like the female version of Rush Limbaugh. Liberal version.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you either have to be hardcore liberal or hardcore conservative, or no one will listen to you. You can't just make sense. And before anyone says, well, what about Jon Stewart? People thought his show was funny, and then he went away, and so did any interest in anything he was saying. So, So that's why I said, like, this is my anthem, because I find myself saying, for lack of a better phrase, I wish a motherfucker would try to think of someone other than themselves one time. Instead of, constantly having to dance around somebody who just won't consider your point of view or your needs or whatever.
Dude, it's a me society. That's what it is. Your opinion's the only one that matters the most, and that's the way it seems like as we continue to get me and you as we continue to get older, as our friends continue to get older. I don't know if people just become more ignorant. Or you sit there, and I know that you probably sat there and thought, is this guy stupid? This guy used to be somebody I thought of as, or I respected. And now all of a sudden they're just spouting all this ignorant stuff off and not even considering, just like you said, valid points or something like that.
I can't tell how many people have unfriended me on Facebook because of stuff like that.
That's bullshit, man.
There was a kid who like, if he had unfriended me or refused to friend me because he still harbored hard feelings towards the way our friendship sort of ended, I would understand. I'd say, that makes sense to me. But he was willing to friend me. He was willing to talk to me. He was, he was corresponding with me pretty frequently on Facebook. And then I was like half serious, half suggesting Jan Brewer should run for president. And I don't know if you know who Jan Brewer is.
I have no clue. Must have flipped some kind of switch then.
She's the governor of – she either is or was the governor of Arizona, to tell you how much I kept up on the subject. But she was the governor of Arizona, and she was very like anti-illegal immigration. And she was making a lot of headlines. And I think one of the things – oh, she had just signed a bill. That's what it was. It was something along the lines of – and forgive me, audience, if I don't have the right details here. But it was something along the lines of – she signed a bill saying it was okay for the cops in Arizona to profile.
Okay.
And this was for the purposes of identifying illegal aliens, as I recall. And I defended it because I could see the logic behind it. I wasn't necessarily saying it was a good or bad thing. I was like, well, I was sort of saying, here's the logic. And it wasn't long after that that he was just like, you're a Nazi, and unfriended me. But that's the way things are. You're either a Nazi or you're a hippie, and there's no in between.
Man, I am the least political dude. Well, I don't know about the least, but I have seen plenty of views show up that I disagree with, or that I agree with, or I almost felt like sharing. And it's kind of scary in the fact that I'm afraid to have my own opinion because all my other friends have such staunch, cemented opinions themselves. I'm afraid of getting some kind of backlash because of a bullcrap like that. That's just me, I think, trying to be a friendly guy all the way around. And I don't know if I'm in the running for trying to keep as many Facebook friends as anybody else. But it, you know, it's ridiculous that people cannot see how, just like Jamie's saying here, the world is pretty fucked up when you really start to look at it. But so many people are involved in their own lives and nothing else outside of that shell that it's just not possible for somebody actually to look at it from either at a different angle or from an outside perspective.
All right. I agree with you. We kind of keep the show moving here.
Keep the show rolling. Keep it going.
Yeah. This is the shortest album with the longest conversations. 2 hours talking about a half an hour album. This is track 4, In the Walls.
I want to know, is every song on here mosh pit material?
I think there's one that's sort of like a ballad that he sings, if I remember correctly. So I'm going to go with no.
You pointed out. Okay.
I think it's towards the end. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I think most of this is, I mean, if you're calling yourself a hardcore punk band or a thrash band, moshing goes hand in hand with that. There's, you know, you're not going to find too many thrash or too many hardcore songs that are not moshable. And then depending on the kind of person you are, it doesn't really matter what it sounds like. It could be stereo hiss and you'll mosh to it anyway. other than that, that's kind of all. They went back to thrashing on that one. Lyrics are pretty cool. I don't have a whole lot to say beyond that. Sounds like one of those songs where, all right, everybody, I want you all right now to form the biggest circle pit you can, okay? Get the fuck up. Get the fuck up.
You know, it's nice that they keep the songs short, at least, because if they went four minutes at a moshing song, I mean, people would be laying on the ground. At least they get a little break in between.
No, listen, no one's moshing to the beat, okay? No, people are just... It's a lot of you need to go to more shows, Mr. Starcher. Your wife.
I do. That is an absolute fact.
Because you would understand that the tempo of the mosh pit is its own entity. People's are sort of mosh, and then they'll take a break, they'll take a breather. You know, their friends will put a wet towel on them and, you know, and block their head and give them some water. And then you get put back
it's like a fucking boxing match.
Yeah. And then they're back in and they kick them back into play, and then it'll slow down again because people are fucking tired, or they've been, you know, or whatever. And cause it's hot in these places. And then that's when usually the girls jump in, and, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, girls' choice. And then they'll start going, and everyone watches the girls because the tits are bouncing, you know, and then the girls wonder why no one wants to mosh with them. It's like, one, you're probably going to get crushed if we do. And then your boyfriend, then you probably have a boyfriend that's here, and that's going to suck. So, you know, yeah. But then there's always one girl that's just like, someone hit me. And then there's always one guy that'll oblige her. And then everyone hits that guy. It's the devil's trap. All right, unless you've got some great burning desire to talk about in the walls, we're going to move on to track five.
I like it when he starts yelling rats at the end, and it takes me back to some early Clutch, but that's about it.
Rats! Under the distance! Rats! Under the distance! This is track five from Grace We've Fallen.
Let's go!
I'm always reminded of my friend Chuck. That's the guy who works in the record store. He's my musical soulmate. When it comes to metal, he's my longtime best friend. We went to tons of shows together. He always had the hookup, and he was also one of the funniest people in terms of like one-liners. You know, I'm a storyteller, and sometimes you know I can be funny, I can be entertaining, and other times. I'm telling a straight story, and I'm not trying to be funny. He wasn't so much of a storyteller as he was the king of one-liners. He would say shit, and it would drop me to my knees how funny it was. And like he's not like Silent Bob or anything. He'd talk, but you know, like I was the verbose one, and he would just sort of swoop in there with the pointed comment or insult or whatever. And he was always so funny about it. He also had he was also like the king of comic delivery. And I remember we were talking about a lot of new hardcore bands back in the day. And he was just like, it's getting to the point where all these bands, their songs are just 3 minutes of breakdowns. And I fucking fell on the floor. And not that that's 2 minutes and 41 seconds of nothing but breakdowns, but it reminded me that he once made that criticism that there's no building up to a breakdown anymore. It's just 1, 2, 3, dun 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 dun, you know, quick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely get that feel.
That's like giving somebody a present in one of those present bags, and you don't even have any like foil or wrap in there. You just pull out the thing, you're like, oh, well, there's no pomp and circumstance to this, is there?
Yeah, I believe that this for me is top three. This is probably number three on the album for me. Like when it comes to of the top three songs, I really like this one off of here.
What do you like about it?
I don't know if it's the, well, you 2 minutes and 41 seconds. That's probably, I noticed I liked most of the longer songs on here. It might be because they've got more to work with, more time. It's not as in your face screamy as most of the rest of these songs are. It's heavy, but you know, you got the, you know, From Grace We've Fallen. I like the chorus. That's probably the best I can put it. One of these days I'll be able to alliterate why I like a song. Okay. Be ready.
I am noticing a pattern with you. And this is where I think you and I, and really even Robert and I, split ways. You tend to not like the screamy stuff. You like the more singing. Because I've heard you say this about some other albums too. It seems like when the person's just screaming at the top of their lungs and they're not singing in any way, shape, or form, it's just yelling, you're not into it as much.
When it comes to Jamie's stuff, when I first started listening to Hatebreed stuff here, as I grabbed this album, that's what I was worried about. I honestly was worried about being like, oh man, this is going to grind me to death. I'm going to hate this album. But they do enough dynamically with his vocal range in some of the songs that it doesn't get too over saturated with that yelling, in my opinion. But yes, I absolutely agree with you. I think that when I start to see more of a vocal range on somebody, I can appreciate it more. When it's just him screaming like he does in a few of these songs where he's just, I mean, it's like he's pissed off at his mom about something and he's just letting loose. And it's like 2 minutes of him being mad. And I think that really, I made the comment about how short this album was, but it doesn't really feel like that's a detriment to it, because you guys have given, and I've been on a couple podcasts where we've given some other albums a hard time about being so short. Well, the fact is that these guys are so rage-filled, that his vocals are so rage-filled that I don't want to hear him shouting for another 30 seconds, to be honest, because he's so mad. And plus, if you're a person, just a regular old Joe Schmo, when you get pissed and like shouting rage-filled pissed, you're not mad for more than probably 5 minutes at that level. You're probably going to go down a few notches. So I think that's another reason why this particular album doesn't grind on me as much.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and play track 6. When we come back, I have to have a discussion with you about Pantera. This is Us Against Us. Thrashier, very thrashy, for some odd reason, I like that one more than AD. It might be because of there's that change up in there. You know, they take a break from it. Might be the gallop. Mm-hmm. They preferred the gallop in that one to AD. Now,
did you like just get done running somewhere?
A little out of breath, I sound.
just throwing it out there.
I'm trying to get through it. Don't worry about it.
All right.
I am a professional. Let's keep it on track.
All right, sir. Go for it.
That's probably not gonna be the last time I turn the song off, and you'll hear me panting as I'm trying to keep the show moving. Be professional. Let's just roll along.
Rolling along.
So, all right. One of my favorite bands of all time and to this day is still Pantera. I love Phil Anselmo. Love his vocals. And he can sing, as demonstrated early on in his career by songs like Cemetery Gates. But he obviously can scream, as demonstrated in every other one of his songs, but most especially something like Fucking Hostile, where it's just all screaming. Were you, now, given your distaste for being screamed at constantly, what was your take on Pantera?
Whew, Cowboys from Hell. Definitely got that one from the old Columbia house. and when was the one after that? Was that Far Beyond Undriven, or was
that was Vulgar Display of Power, one of the greatest albums of all time.
Yes, thank you.
With the greatest cover of all time. Which, by the by, when Ronda Rousey lost her title to Holly Holm, the meme that came out of that with they took the guy's face off the Vulgar Display of Power and put Ronda's face with a foot. Hilarious.
Oh, I saw that.
That was my Facebook profile pic for a while. Here, I'll send it to
you. Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead give us some of the old Stasha words, and I'll find the pic for you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those two albums from Pantera. This was at an age where, again, I mentioned Columbia House. So I was getting tapes. I wasn't getting CDs. I wasn't that cool yet. I was listening to my tapes on the way to school. But I had Cowboys from Hell and Vulgar Display of Power in my Walkman at some point during, I think, 93 and 94. So I enjoyed Pantera at that day and age. But I can tell you that is the last time I listened to them, probably 96. In other words, I didn't buy any albums, and I probably haven't, I haven't had the opportunity to really put anything on Spotify from these guys in a while. And I don't even know if they're on Spotify. So they kind of dropped off the radar for me. Now, I'm not saying it was anything that Phil Anselmo, the way he sung or anything like that. I never really did have much of an opinion in regards to, you know, some of the vocals that came out of there and some of the music. I don't know if it's just because I started getting into rap, which that happens to quite a few people. Musical tastes change every once in a while, and then you come back to where things are all right. And that's what happened with me. I ended up coming back to metal after that. So that's my take on them. Let me look at this picture.
You look at the picture. I'm going to go play track 7, Something's Off, one of the better tracks on the album, and we'll discuss the picture when we come back.
Thank you.
So I like that one, if for no other reason than, and this is certainly not the only reason, but it's one where they actually, I felt like they constructed an entire song using different tempos and beats and styling.
Yes.
Yes. They didn't just go, this is the thrash song. This is the hardcore song. Guys.
Well.
Could mix it up, you know.
Yeah. Well, this one, dude, this is the one. This is mine. This is the one I like the most off of this album. Absolutely. Just one of the... Okay. Breaking it down when it comes to, like, lyrics out of all these songs on this album, just like you said, it put together something that really felt like a song. It talked about, if you listen to the lyrics or you read the lyrics, it really feels like this guy, the character in this song, is just building up to where, you know, shit is about to hit the fan. And you see that actually with the way the music progresses too. It slowly gets more and more intense as it goes along until finally you hit the chorus where he's yelling and screaming. And then that really, I don't want to say spoke to me, but I mean, it was like, this is the shit right here. This is awesome. Reading some of the reviews, they said that this was more their shot of what mainstream type of work that they've done in the past. In other words, potential radio play for this particular song. Now, I don't know about that compared to the rest of their library, but I mean, I dug this one. It was great.
Yeah. It's one of the better songs on there. It's still Looking Down the Barrel of Today, but I appreciate some degree of difference and change and creativity on an album. It's why I've tended to steer clear of a lot of, first of all, like deathcore, a lot of bands there's bands where I wish I liked them because I think their name is hilarious or their name is awesome. And like, I want to be a fan. Like, I want to be a fan of I Wrestle the Bear once, but their music is fucking terrible.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of I Wrestle the Bear once?
No, I've never heard of that. I've never heard of them at all.
When this is over, go on YouTube and just quickly see, you know, play a couple of I Wrestle the Bear ones. It's garbage. It's just garbage music. It's the same, you know, it's like that Surgical Meth Machine or where they're just in the studio smashing buttons. What is this? Sounds like a song. There's like no rhythm to it at all. It's also why I don't listen to a lot of death metal anymore. Like, I'll listen to the new 6 Feet Under that comes out, but it's like, you know, Chris Rock once talked about the music that you listen to around the time that you first started getting laid is the music you listen to for the rest of your life, and that's very true. But I'm also now not open to a lot of new bands for that reason. Because if you sound too much like bands I already were listening to, I'm just going to go listen to those bands. And, you know, well, if you grow up in the culture now and those bands are, you know, part of your culture, you might not, my kids will listen to whatever is contemporary when they're coming up. You know, real quick side story. I remember I worked in a group home with youths that had picked up, like, misdemeanor or felony charges. And, you know, in lieu of going to big boy jail, they had to complete this program. And, you know, they lived away from home. And I remember and part of the gig was you had to drive in your car. And I was playing Dope's Fuck the Police cover. And the kid goes, hey, they copied. Like, he was indignant about it. Like, you know? He's like, what the fuck, man? You know, how dare they? And I was like, it's not a copy. It's called a cover. And that's what bands do to pay homage to other bands. Homage to other bands. It's a sign of courtesy and respect. He's like, no, they copied. And I'm like, well, I can see I'm not getting through to you. And I was like, well, who'd they copy? And I was curious to see what he was going to say. He was like, well, they copied Bone Thugs and Harmony. And that's when I wanted to drive my car into a fucking telephone pole. I figured it would save the world, a lot of problems.
Oh, man.
So that's what I mean by, like, they'll sort of stick to what's contemporary, you know, for their generation, but then not want to go back and listen to stuff that sounds just like it, but from years ago.
Yeah.
Unless you twist their arm. And some people will. I mean, like, my wife is certainly not a contemporary of the Beatles, but for a while, that was all she would listen to. Same thing with David Bowie. Not a contemporary necessarily, especially of his 70s stuff, but she, for a while, that's all she would listen to was Bowie. So then there's that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not entirely sure how we got there. But
we arrived.
Huh?
I said, but we arrived.
Yeah. I guess the point of all of that was there's a certain amount of this kind of music where I'm just not gonna, I'm not going to listen to the same thing over and over and over again. Mm. So I was appreciative of a song that didn't sound like everything else I've heard for the past 20 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. This is track 8. This is Remember When.
Why he does not like nostalgia. He's like, could you imagine being sitting at a party with Jamie and just being like, dude, you remember back in the 90s? Fuck you! That's a phrase I reject.
Remember when you go fuck yourself.
I understand what he's trying to say. I just don't understand why he's so angry about it, I guess, in regards to not regretting. And I guess I get it. This is one of those songs where I was like, this is the message you're trying to get out with your anger here. It's a good song, but it just felt like a filler to me. But then again, he's getting his emotions out there, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah, I would agree. Right. In the interest of time, since I like that song, it's one of my favorites on here. It's no Looking Down the Barrel of Today, but it's good. We're gonna move on.
That's going to be the rest of this album, by the way. That's no looking like the barrel or looking down the barrel of today.
When Jesse promotes it later. Well, it was no looking. We came out of it didn't mean purpose of hashtag time to murder it. We're going to come out of this one. Hashtag, well, it was no looking at the barrel of just looking at the barrel of today.
That's right.
Not quite the motivational hashtag. All right, this is Slaughtered in Their Dreams.
Evil infects his weight, wallet assist, nailed to a stake, crazy murder, I see rape, pussy children, slaughtered in their dreams, shedding blood in his wake. There's no end to the hate. We're headed into the place. That's where we're
Solo.
Normally
that's where I cut the song because it's, you know, it's a good place to cut it. But I let it go because I wanted to hear you talk about that solo.
Oh, that was some shredding, dude. I mean, that's about all I can say. That was some shredding. The guy got down. You don't hear, of course, throughout this album, you don't hear much of that because there's a lot of times not enough time to fit that in a song. And really, honestly, this is only 2 minutes and 16 seconds, so I'm surprised they even got that in there. But yeah.
Just like Jamie Duff is like, all right, we're keeping everything to, you know, 2 minutes, and, you know, just me screaming, and finally the guitar player, like, throw his shit down. Like, what? Like, Bob, why are you so – I don't know who the guitar player is. Why are you so mad? Like, you know, like, what's wrong? I don't understand. It's like – fuck a guitar player, and I don't get a chance to play guitar solos. Everything's the same simple shit over and over and over again. Just think of it. I'm gonna go where I'm more appreciated, like Guns N' Roses or some shit.
Let him go, dang it, damn. Yeah, I mean, let him play. That's what I, you know, I'm glad I got to hear him on here. Let's see, what is his guitarist name? We got Wayne Lozinak and Frank Three Gun Novinek. Those are the two guys that play guitar. I don't know which one's which.
Three Gun.
What's that?
I have less sympathy for him now if his name is Three Gun.
Motherfucker's name's Three Gun. At least that's what it says here. But yeah,
whatever, three gun.
As for that song though, I don't know what the hell's going on in that song. Somebody's people having nightmares or something. My notes say, what the fuck is going on in this song? That's pretty much what I had down. And that's pretty much where I left it.
So I have to send you something in the next song. Tomorrow, real quick plug, we're going to be reviewing Money Monster. And normally I'll put up like a banner of the, just because it fits better in the player, I'll put up a banner of the movie that we're talking about. If I find a good movie poster, I'll use that. Otherwise, I'll find like a banner ad or something. Something that's more stretched than anything else. And, I just keep it very simple. And you know, I want people to see the podcast, that this is what we're doing. I don't try to get too silly with it. But I found a picture that's so hilarious, I might actually use that instead. And I'm going to need to send it to you and Robert Winfrey for approval. So let's go ahead and play. This is, again, one of the better tracks on here, clocking in at 2 minutes and 29 seconds. This is The Apex Within.
Divide their flaws and scatter the pain. All joy will be.
That is very catchy. That's pretty awesome. I think on my first listen through on of the album, that stood out to me, especially the bit about wolves don't care about the cries of sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I was shouting that too, sitting here at work. That's the one line that it seems like most of these songs have one line, and I'm shouting. I won't know what the hell else he's speed talking about, but the rest of it, that little part's question. Speed, whatever, yelling, screaming. Yeah, that's a good one. That's catchy as hell.
Yeah, I dig it. That's the hook right there. Wolves, something like wolves don't concern themselves about the cries of sheep. So, Money Monster. Pretty funny, huh?
I mean, really. Tell me where you found that shit at.
Just Googled Money Monster and images.
Google images, Money Monster. Cookie Monster, yep. With a damn dollar sign. Oh, man.
That's going in the player as at least the second picture. For my own.
Tremendous.
Time here. I don't want to go too far over tonight, and I don't want to do a full 2 hours. Not that I don't mind hanging out with Jesse Starcher, because he's the man, he's the bro. But I do want to, I do want to wrap this up at a decent time. So.
Yeah, Blog Talk's not too kind to the overrun, so I understand. Trust me.
Yeah. So all right, we're gonna hit track 11 here. This is Walking the Knife. The imagery used in the song. It's good stuff.
Agreed. I want you to do me a favor. As you're going through Spotify and you're listening to their previous entries, their previous albums, I want you to let me know if they have an interlude at any point in any album. I'm just curious if there's one out there. Because they have been going at it. We're probably close to 25 minutes in this album. I mean, it's just unadulterated piss offness, and it continues to go through the rest of the album. That's nothing but Hatebreed. But yeah, if they ever take a breath and have an interlude on an album, I want to know what that is, because I got to hear it.
Hatebreed covers Bon Jovi's Never Say Goodbye.
Oh, man. Hatebreed covers Never Gonna Happen.
Hatebreed covers Never Gonna Get It. No, you're never gonna get it.
Oh, in Vogue.
Never gonna get it.
All right. Oh, man.
That's silly. Speaking of silly, track 12, Dissonance.
Will you regret any remorse or throw decency away?
think of that one, Jesse?
We're getting long in the tooth when it comes to tracks here that sound kind of that suffers from that sameness.
That's what I was talking about before. There's a tendency to, not just them, but there's a tendency to get too repetitious, and then I start to tune out.
Yeah. Which is good when it's coming next to last song. At least they held my attention this long. But this is probably this is my least favorite song on the album. So that's pretty much kind of all I got to say.
I don't want to go too long with this because we have about 8 minutes left of live time, but I was thinking, I wonder if it's ever going to come to pass with digital media being what it is and the ability to release a video and a song and have it be available the way it is today, that the fans will release stuff for purchase and not, in other words, not create albums as such, but release songs as they write them and produce them, they can get a song that's ready to go, stop sitting on it, wait for a whole album to be created, just release it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like they're using, there's a tremendous amount of physical overhead, where they have to press the record or spool the tape or anything and get it into a store. It's uploading of a file.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if there's ever going to get to a point where bands are just going to go, we're not making albums anymore. We're just going to release music as it gets done. And it'll be the same thing on YouTube where, you can do like Weird Al did and just make a video for every song you put out. What's stopping you? You have all the time in the world that anyone else wants, that wants to go around and look at it.
That's true. And now, of course, you got to... I don't know. I don't know about the whole business side of when it comes to songs, records, and how you release those versus, buying one song on iTunes versus buying the album and having all those songs sitting there. I have no idea how that would all work, but I find that bands are clearly releasing a lot of material way earlier to get you pumped and primed for that album. At least more that I pay attention to nowadays. When The Sword dropped their first few tracks from their album, they were just lyric videos a couple albums ago, Apocryphon or whatever it was called. Man, it continually got me psyched up as one dropped after the other, and then finally the album released. It'll be interesting as we continue to go through this digital age, is to see what different business practices they take.
Well, but my last comment on this is Dissonance felt like filler. I was like, well, Jesus, we haven't even clocked in 30 minutes yet. And so they threw on another track to get to 30 minutes where, that won't necessarily – songs like Dissonance might not even be made anymore because there's no need for filler. Ultimately where I was going with that. All right, last track. This is Serve Your Masters.
Agree. Serve your masters. Now you cut it off right where he was getting ready. Now serve your masters in hell. That's a catchy one. This is probably the song you were thinking of, that there's probably not going to be much moshing going on in here, but there's going to definitely be a lot of singing along. And not a whole lot of different from the rest of these other tracks where you're yelling and screaming along with the band.
So overall, this was noted the Divinity of Purpose. That still ranks as my favorite Hatebreed album until I go back and listen to the rest of their catalog and see if they've got anything better or did they peak with that album.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of tracks on here are really, really good and very interesting to me. There's nothing quite like Looking Down the Barrel of Today. So people think I was hearing that. Shut up already. But overall, I would give the album for what it's supposed to be, for its presentation, overall quality. I'm going to go ahead and go A minus. It's fine.
It's pretty high grade.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad album. I mean, like I say, there's only one song on here that I thought was a little bit of filler, a little bit of fat. It's a pretty lean album. Like I said, it's 30 minutes, and did they get right to the point. I'm nowhere bored with it. I'm not, not one time that I go, nope, and go to the next track.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a whole lot of noise. It's just boom. It's just bombast. Boom, boom, boom. Hit you. Done.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with A minus. No, it's not the Divinity of Purpose, but it's still good.
In your opinion, does the album's length or the song lengths that are on here impact it in any way, or is that just the right amount of time that they need to spend on these songs?
I believe you should say what you need to say in 50 words or less. This is the 50 words or less album.
All right. Very good. As for my first entry into the Hatebreed Brofest, I'm going to give it a real simple thumbs up, thumbs down, and it's easily a thumbs up for me. I enjoyed this album. I criticized a couple tracks on here, but really every single track is listenable. It's not unlistenable, as Uncle Al would say.
I wouldn't give him a penny back.
But yeah, I enjoyed this album. I'm glad I had the opportunity to listen to it, and I've listened to it 10, 12 times so far, and there isn't a time where I'm going, okay, skip this song, I've heard too much. I can listen to the song, and even if I'm not impressed with it too much, it's still, I let it play through, which is actually something that I don't normally do. I tend to skip tracks that I really don't like. So thumbs up for me. I really enjoyed it.
All right, Jess, we got about a minute and 30 seconds here. Give me 30 seconds of plugs.
Shit, man, 30 seconds. all right, here we go. Source material, I do.
Give me the Hatebreed version.
The Hatebreed version? No, I don't want to blow my mic by screaming. Source material, I do a podcast on here, comic book podcast. Check us out on usually every other Monday. Sometimes we'll throw in a bonus episode. Upcoming episode will be me and Stephen Marsh talking Predator, a 2009 comic book that came out a while back. And also go back in the archives, check out our Civil War coverage we did with Mark and Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy podcast, Marvel Trivia. Also this past, maybe a couple Fridays ago, the Job Squad got together and did some Marvel Trivia. So I guess maybe we might be doing another one of those here pretty soon. Also, if you guys listen to Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to show up on VOC Nation Network, I think is how it is. That'll be this coming Thursday. I've been invited by Dean Compton to show up on the Her Dork World, His Dork World podcast. We're going to be talking Punisher. We're going to be talking comics. We're going to be talking wrestling. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Hulu Documentary Diary, we've got a couple episodes that are going to be dropping. Plus, we got this great episode. Me and Ronnie talked about marijuana. Oh, man, it'll be a lot of fun to listen to. Head over to the Rattle Engine Broadcasting Facebook page. Give that page a like. And I don't give a shit if this was 30 seconds or not, but I've got everything in there I could.
Thanks, Jeff. Tomorrow we'll be reviewing Money Monster, and on Thursday, our last podcast for the month of May, celebrating baseball. We did Little League our last episode. This episode we're going straight to the majors with the Major League trilogy. Apparently, it's actually only two movies and a third one that they're not counting because they're apparently coming out with a Major League 3 that may be in production, and it's supposed to be the third proper. So who the fuck knows? But we will be discussing three movies. I know that for sure. we were supposed to do Vector Terminal Redux. That'll be this Tuesday coming up on May 24th, which means we were supposed to do a Motorhead retrospective in two parts. That has been put off indefinitely. I have no idea when we're going to get to it, because after that, on June 7th, we'll be reviewing Hell Yeah, Undeniable, Volt. Then on the 14th, Volbeat, Seal the Deal, and Let's Boogie. On June 21st, Grand Magus, Sword Songs. I know Jesse's been pumped for that. I'm sure he'll be on the
show.
Fuck
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
21st of June. And then finally closing out June is the new Whitechapel, Mark of the Blade. So we got a pretty busy couple of weeks ahead of us here in the Metal Hammer of Doom. Go ahead and check us out. I am Mark Radulich, MarkRadulich. And that is how you find me on the Twitter machine, at Mark Radulich. You can also find me on Facebook, Mark Radulich, LCSW. Go ahead to the Radulich and Broadcasting Facebook page and give it a like. Check out some of our previous content. Jesse talked about some of it. We've been in business now for a couple of years, going 2012, 2013, and before that, we were just an MMA podcast. Before that, we were just a political podcast. I've actually had this account since 2006, so this is 10 years coming this November that there has been a podcast account with Blog Talk Radio where I've produced some sort of audio. So there's a lot to be had. There's a couple of years worth of PC Live, then there's the 401 MMA Ground and Pound show, and then that blossomed into the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. So there's a ton of stuff here for people to listen to going way back. How far back? Way back. Metal Hammer of Doom by itself has been around since 2012, 2013. So go ahead and check out our earlier shows. That's how we made a fan of Jesse. We'll make a fan of you too.
That's right.
Outside of that, I am Mark Radulich on YouTube as well. Stuff that we have here on the network is also there, plus some funny videos of my kids. So with that said, we'll be back next week with the old Vector Terminal Redux. I want to thank Jesse for being on and being a swell cat and a pretty cool fruit who really knows where his towel is at. I am the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. And this has been a Radulich and Broadcasting Network production of the Metal Hammer of Doom's review of Hatebreed, The Concrete Confessional. Be well, be safe, and be good.
Hi, I'm Benny Jr. with Bartow Ford. You know, you've heard me talk about all of our awards and sales numbers, but sometimes we fail to mention what really makes that happen. Simply put, that's our culture. Our founding father, Ernest Smith, a long time ago, came up with a philosophy that said, take care of the customers, take care of the employees, and take care of the community that you live in. My father carried on that tradition and taught it to me. We have not strayed from that philosophy for over 73 years, nor will we ever, because at Bartow Ford, we're different, and we prove it.
There's no way to prepare for the impact an accident makes on your life. That's why we've spent 40 years getting ready for that moment when you need compassion and immediate action. The right doctors, investigators, our team of experienced attorneys, and your free consultation is already in place. So if you've been hurt, remember, the Farah Safety Net is right here to catch you. All you have to do is call Farah and Farah. It's what we built. Tampa.